Father, we asked this evening that our hearts are receptive to your word. As men that you have put in service over your people, we ask this evening that you flood our understanding with yours. Let nothing from the world creep into our hearts today. Let our hearts be totally focused on your word. And together we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In all of this, he's glorified as we're edified, built up, shaped, sharpened by the power of your Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us and the body of Christ. Amen. John 17. You know, we spoke about focus, right? And we said, when you are doing many things or everything, you are distracted. And I choose to say that it's not just about ministry. Even though I'm talking about ministry and your work today, you must ensure that generally in life you are focused. It's only God who is God over everything, alright? You must know what you are doing. You can't be doing everything. You know, there was this kind of businessman in those days. They have a business card. They would say general merchant. Importer and exporter. That's not focused. So what are you doing? When you are doing everything and many things, we said you are distracted. When you are doing nothing, we said you are in trouble. Right? Now, when you are doing anything, then you are confused. Anything you are doing, you are confused. Focus makes you specific. And the same thing in ministry, you know, we can start from saying, okay, well, for example, you're a cell group leader in Yaba here, and then you just discover yourself that you're paying attention to another cell group member in the same church. You think, well, it's just the same church. No, it's distraction. That person is your responsibility as a brother in Christ and sister, yeah, but is not under your care. You must be focused. And there's something that we need to work on in this day and age, because we have so many things that distract us. The phone's in our hands. I don't know about you, but we all feel empty. Not empty. We all feel, totally, my phone is not with me. Where's my phone? And what's really on your phone? Sometimes someone wants to call. You want to call someone. You have something you want to read on it. So before you know it, your mind is usually on it. And your phone is not just about calling people. You have information. You have maybe for some of us, movies, documents, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And that's taking the heart of many people. And it said in a many educational survey that the wide range of information available to this generation has limited the attention span. They made it very difficult to read intense materials. Because usually those who entertain with information make it short, brisk, and sharp. So there is no depth in that information. There's no depth. Depth is, I was saying something in church today, where I spoke about the fact that you have some guys, they just see on social media, and then because they know that is the issue, they just put out some things and all that, bamboozle people very quickly. And I said, no. Knowledge hasn't changed. You still need deep, intense research. So because of that, many of us, you now get to know very little about everything, but there's nothing you really know much about. And if you're looking at the business world and the world of, and I say to people that, there are different, this is actually not ministry, but there's an entrepreneur, somebody who starts something. There's entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are usually assumed to be people within the career world who equally are innovative. Those are people like that are very specific. You are very specific. And being specific many times also trains you in patience. And you will grind through, be patient. You've been patient. in whatever field it is. But it starts from focus, because the moment there is no focus, there can't be patience. Patience is only required when you are focused. And the moment you are focused, you have to be patient. You guys have been saying that is if the eye, if you are patient enough with the eye, you will see your nose or nostrils moving in your nose. If you are patient enough, you will see it. When you're in a hurry, you're patient. So it's focus that requires patience. People that are not focused don't need patience. Before you know it, they are talking about this one by next year. But you say, check who you were talking about. Yes, I know, but you know, no focus. So in the work of the ministry, and I said that generally, be focused. Doesn't mean you have challenges, we are focused. This is what you are out to do. This is what you are doing. So in the work of the ministry too, we have to know who. Who am I sent to? Who? And there's the, I told the younger pastor, I said, look, you don't know you are distracted. He will get on Facebook. He wants to argue. He wants to show doctrine. I said, look, you are just wasting your energy. This thing will make you feel that you are doing ministry. And I said, number two, don't compare yourself with me. You were not born when I started ministry. There are things I can do, you cannot do. And it's not based on anything because of my experience. He said, look, you just be, you think you are doing. So he will now go offline. He will now be frustrated. And you now be encouraging himself. Look, focus on your work. What that thing you are looking for? Applaud. People will say, Pastor so and so is so deep. Is that what you are looking for in ministry? That's what you want to get. He's so deep. He's so deep. See, I have seen praises in ministry young. I told one guy, I said, they started calling me Baba 29 years ago. Baba. Imagine, Baba. Baba. One of the guys calling me Baba was 3 years older than me. Baba o. Baba o. Bless you. Bless you. You know, when I say bless you, the anointing is not strong. Bless you. Baba o. I know you better not fool yourself. You must be focused. You know? So, this age, look at this, just, let me do Facebook Live. To who? To the body of Christ. You know? Who am I sent to? Who is my responsibility? I'm the area father. Who is your responsibility? So in John 17, I know I shared this, I said it was going to be for the Sunday stream. John 17, look at what Jesus said here. He said in verse 5, "Oh now, O Father, glorify thou with me, your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested thy name to the men, which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." See the specific thing. To the men. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. Verse 8. I have given unto them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 9. I pray for thee. I pray not for them, so that I know the devil is not the whole world. I pray for them. Jesus' first focus was on the them. Now, you are going to see him talk about the world later on, but there is a them. Who are they? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are all thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So he said in verse 11, "And now I'm no more in the world, and these are in the world. And I've come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures may fulfill." So you see that he's specific. You can't pray for the body of Christ. Are you here?
There are people that you are meant to primarily be praying for. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for other people. You should pray for other people. You know, we do that. But there are people that those are your responsibilities. If they say, what is your contribution to the body of Christ? Those are the name, the them. It's, you know, the moment you think you are talking to the body of Christ, I am talking to the body of Christ. You know, one guy was giving a prophecy one day, and I told him, I said, you see, when you start talking like this, you are being distracted. And you're in the body of Christ, and he's thinking, because he's now on social media, so he's thinking he can say something, and the body of Christ will take it. And so I said, no. Look at your congregation. Who are those that are your congregation? Who? And the same thing. You can come up now and ask Jesus, come and preach at Believers Convention or camp meeting. And you begin to share. And it's good. And you talk and all that. But you see, when you come down from that platform, remember that the people you just spoke to were not committed to you. There is a group in that group that are the them. Always know. There's nobody that Jesus gave the whole world to. Know those under your care. Acts 20 and 28. I'll come back here later. Acts 20 and 28. It says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Acts 20 and 28. And to the body of Christ. The flock. Over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God, which he had purchased with the blood of his own. So that you know in specific. It says, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you. So it's a flock specific. Take heed to your ministry. Take heed to your church. You are busy talking about some believers who are praying fall down by fire. You are praying, and you, as you are paying attention, some people are saying, fall down by fire, some people are carrying bottles of fire, some people are washing feet. You are not taking heed to your own cell group members. Who are things you should be paying attention to? I told you something, I told my brother, and we were talking, so she shared something with me. And so she said, before we were around the letter, I told her, why would you say that? She was talking about the church in America, and you know, I said, why? She said, the church generally anyway, she said, because they're teaching material prosperity. So I asked her a question. I said, do you have that problem in your church? She said, no. I said, they teach you the word of God. I said, yes. I said, stop solving a problem you don't have. You don't have that problem. You don't think that you're responsible for the body of Christ. You be telling anybody what to do and all that. Meanwhile, there is your own responsibility that you're paying attention to. You are so focused about exegesis of not you on social media. And those who are passing don't know the Bible. Because you are into competition. You are not focusing on the them. I say, you don't have that problem. I say, yes, it's true. We should be concerned about the body of Christ and all of that. I say, but your primary source of concern. If you imagine your parents when you were younger. And they were particular about the people on the, say, the Agbe Rose. They should not, and then they say, what about, your children's school fees? I know, but I want to this. And he says, leave it, yeah, this, daddy, are you well? I said, your second born is not feeling fine. I know, but you see this, Say, boy, yeah, but I said, I know, Do you get it? Because if you get to a point, when you are trying to attend to those people on the road, they say, what's your own? Say, I'm a human being like him. Say, are you well? How are we your responsibility? So you must know them. You must know the them. Somebody came to me one day and he said, I didn't feel anyhow. He said, I have this problem, I have this. I said, the money you're asking for me is with me, but I'm not giving you. He said, why? He said, there's somebody in the church that asked me. I said, no. He said, let me now tell you one that is interesting. The person has not really asked me. But I know the person will ask me. I said, sir, okay, can I come back? I said, if you come back, somebody else will have asked me. I said, I am not El Shaddai. Brother, even El Shaddai, how much have you gotten from him this year? El Shaddai, hello him. Hello, young. And me, I'm hello, sir. What I have that I got. And I look at what is my response. Might somebody be angry that why would you send your children to a school of 500,000 per month? Say now, are you not thinking about us? Who? Say, but I think it's expensive. Are you well? It's the same thing. You see, some people they are arguing that why some pastors, some people give their pastors cars. Sorry. How is it your business? I've never had a problem with that though. Some people go and give their pastor money. Ah. It was my own business. And you are their own members. Their own members are looking at them like this. I say, oh boy, you don't even deserve it. This is the truth. People are giving them something and you are complaining. What's your own? How is it your business? Don't say, I'm concerned. You know, my mom is going to cry. Okay, be concerned. Go around the world and be concerned for what's happening in every nation, in every church. You have no job. There is a them among you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. There is a them that you are over. You are not over the body of Christ. You are not over Saints Community Church. The same way I'm not over Redeemed Christian Church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Aha. You are not over. I'm not over Christ Embassy. I'm not over Ramada Missionary Center. I'm not. Even though I have good relationship with some of these people, I don't. We relate. We try to, you know, fellowship. But that's where it ends. The people over the assembly have the responsibility. It's the Holy Spirit that put them and believe it. And so they must take responsibility. You are never going to be awarded for focusing on somebody else's work, fathering other people's children, or taking care of somebody's business, and your own business has gone down the drain. It says, know them which labor among you. Hebrews 13:17. The writer of Hebrews again says, obey them that have the rule over you. Over you. That's not the body of Christ. I thank God for things like fathers in the body out of respect. Fathers in respected men. But really, the truth of the matter is that everybody has their own congregation. That they are responsible towards and for. Somebody was telling me one day, he said, you know, hey, Pastor, the boy is not really available like that. I said, available. He can't be. Look at the number of bodies he has under him. It's not easy to invite him like that. He would rather be in a church, in the creator of God, than come to your own church. Take it like that. Because he has responsibility. If he has room once in a while, he creates it. And so how then can he be a blessing to the body of Christ? So with all their churches on the street, they're not left a blessing to the body of Christ. If you really want to see him first Friday, go on time. Arrive on Wednesday, I know what I'm saying. And the people are already there a week before. They've kept their seats. Those are people come for your camp meeting a day before. You just discover that you're always at the back. They've kept their seats. A week, they are there. Travel from different places, they are there. You don't want that kind of person to come to your church. You are the one that will take your church there. You will take your, if you are serious about being blessed, you will take your church there. So everybody has a responsibility. You have your responsibility. You have to be focused. Be focused. But people are calling you man of God, you're a blessing to me in the body. Don't be distracted. That's how some people, they will praise you. You will spend your salary. Shake. Don't take out your salary. You just spend everything. Say, bring more. Say, which more? It's finished. Say, you don't say, There was one guy like that. The boy was so stupid. I nicknamed him pneumonia. He would take it, beginning of the time, he would take his pocket money, blow it at the pottery, be sponsoring everybody. Say, you want rice and beans? Hey, yam and egg. Hey, everybody's okay. By the second week, you sit at the hockey field. Conceit is a pattern, motive. You see like this. So I say, you're in pneumonia. He didn't know his responsibility. You are burning your energy. Someone told me, say, there's a way you preach in other churches. And I said, you say other churches. Heteros. You just said it to your mouth. Yeah, this is where you're going to use notes. I said, because I'm teaching what I teach in the church. See, that's why I know that's the one God is saying, God, what did you say? Other churches is what they want me to say. It's so simple. You have to, you see, cut off this thing, you're like, is that what you have in the body of Christ? Is it happening in your church? You know, you want to quickly Google it. What's your, are you Googling? Remember, no. You are Googling somebody in another church. Even in church, I don't know. Hey, that demand, what's your own? How is it your responsibility? Someone say, I want us to be praying for, that was what's in January. You know, pray for this man. I say, I will pray for the person, but I don't know him. I want to pray for those who in my church. They need prayer. So your boy learned the word. I said, that's why they need prayer. Because that word you are teaching them is trouble. They need more prayer for the trouble. That's it. Don't feel bad though. And say, but that means you don't have the love of God. I have love of God, but it's specific. To them, be focused. So what is this in John 17? It says sanctify them, which means keep them. Sanctification, John 17, is to be kept. So our sanctification must be people specific. People specific. Sanctify them, John 17. And verse 17. Through your truth, the word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, we are going to this one. Even I have sent them to the world. Notice he wasn't praying for the world, but he was sending them to the world. The people that we are talking about are your gifts to the world. Are you following what I'm saying? That's your gift to the world. That's your gift to the body of Christ. For their sake, as the man said, that they may be sanctified through the truth. Neither prayer for this alone. Now we are shifted. But I also pray for which shall believe on me through their message. Verse 20. That they may all be one. So there are those that will believe through them. There are people that won't hear you directly, but will hear those who hear you. But your focus should be on those hearing you week in, week out. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must be focused. You have to be. When you're on social media, you are focused. When you are out there, you are focused. You are paying attention to your own work. To what you are called to do. Because if you are not, you can't get the results. Someone say, well, we're not growing. I say, are you focused on your own congregation? Are you paying attention? I told someone years back, myself and my friends, we sat back and we said, we're just looking at churches in Nigeria and we said, we now notice something. That the churches that seem to, you know, have consistent stability, growth and all that, that their pastors are usually around. I went to one church one time, I won't mention the church. I love the man's teaching gift, so I wanted to be there. I got there. The praise worship was like we're trying to dedicate the temple of Solomon. Elongated praise worship. We're just praying. 3 hours. To the high place. They sang all the Hosanna Integrity songs. I said, this is 4 hours going. Someone said, usually the pastor are going to preach another ministry. So they'll be waiting for him with continuous praise. I said, he's not serious about this congregation. You know, I waited a bit. My friend was a choir member then, because his house was not far. I waited a bit. I said, I won't be back here again. I just left. I called him and said, the man came and just spent 30 minutes. I said, this is not correct. You should focus on the flock. They were, 4 hours. I said, I mean, even Solomon's temple, I don't think they praise like this to dedicate it. Ha! And you notice on and on, you are not focused. Last week, you delegated somebody to hold the meeting for you. The week before, are you sure this is what you really want to do? You are not available. You must be available. I showed it to some leaders in Yamba. I said, look, notice that this is a trend now in your fellowship. You are not around. You are giving one reason or the other. You are giving, it will still show. It's like the student that is not reading for his exam. It will happen on the day of the exam, you will know. You will not be struggling for 40. You will pass, but you could have done better. You have been struggling and struggling. You, at the end of the day, you will not be sure. By the time you finish the exam, you will not be saying, until your hands, I commit my script. When you say the results are out, you will be saying, today? Say now. Eh? Have they placed that? He said they are. Nobody has torn it. Nobody tore it. It's there. You now look at what you're not looking for is 4, 4, 4, 40. Ah! Why? Why should they say 40? Because you never prepare. But there are those that you see the scores in the 60. Ah, no. When you prepare, you say, you're not taking off. What did you do? That's why you're not expecting something better. You are not available. You want permission after the other. Want permission. People are also going to be taking permission from your ministry. Permission upon permission. Excuse upon excuse. That is what you are going to get. It's a pattern. It's what you are going to get. You are not available. So say, I want to start this ministry. I said, look. Practice stability. I said, come and join Saints Community Church. I said, practice stability. Know how to be at prayer meetings at the right time. Learn it first. So when somebody has never been trained, wants to start ministry, they think it's just about coming to church and be saying, the word, the istohu wabohu. Wabohu. Okay. Genesis is bereshit. You see the other part of the bare. This is wabohu. No, say come and practice it. Say okay, pastor. They are giving the person prophecy. You know, he says, give me a word that is now. I've told you, when you are in a meeting, stop giving people prophecy. Not you about a work. Which work? A work. Somebody that has not been to prayer meetings in the church has a work. Which work? That work is own work. A walk. I come to someone and say, you give somebody a person, you know the person will walk. The person has a pastor. You want to create katakata in the church. The work is, you say, if you is the person by the Spirit of God, you say, the work committed to you by your pastor in your church. Some people just think you are telling them to just go. And so be it. So the person says, no, so pastor, I just feel, I said, okay, no problem. But you don't even have the patience of a pastor. You that you cannot a prayer meeting once a week. Say, I just sense it. I didn't even think about it. Oh, it just the desire just came. I've heard this one before. You didn't think about it. You want to go and ask a woman to marry you. Say, I was not thinking about it. I was just looking at you. I say, you don't even know how to lie. How can you say you are not thinking about it? How do you fall in love without thinking about it? You've been thinking about it. You didn't know that your thoughts could go this far. So I was not thinking about it. I just knew from nowhere. I just had it. And this is the time. It's the season. Step into it. It is now. It's all right. So I heard the person go. So the person said, you know, and started. I said, look, you see, you don't have time. You don't have the discipline. Come here. Start submitting reports. Because you will need it when you're on your own. Start submitting reports. Start getting somewhere on time. Start being told what to do. You are training yourself. Someone came back to me and said, you told me this thing 7 years ago. I said, you can still go for another 7. You like to test it. I said, what test it? I'm telling you something you are arguing. You have to learn it. Where do you see growth in this world without stability? There is stability. Stable, you are stable. Routine. Stability. Look at any big enterprise in the world. There's stability. Stability of leadership, vision, purpose, constancy. So you must be focused. Did you hear me? Now I'm not speaking about ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm talking generally to you. You must be a focused person. Be someone that is not, you are not giving to frivolities. Be focused. B. Separate yourself to the work. You have to. Consecration must be specific. You can say, Lord, I dedicate myself to you. And then, who? Where is he? Lord, I give myself to you. I don't know why I give myself away. I don't like that part. Away. I give myself away. It's a good song, but away. I give myself to you. Away. That's why I changed it. That song, Watch My Treasures Go. The original song is, what I give away, I never lose. What I give to God, away is not God's name. So you give yourself to, where is it? I'm giving myself to the Lord. Who? There must be His people. If you have a consecration that has nobody in you, when you are saying, Lord, I surrender myself to you. You are looking at the believers. You are looking at the people He sent you to reach to be saved. That's what you are referring to. That's why you are living right. That's why you are being a good example. That's why you are ensuring that you are not living in sin. That's why you are praying. There is a specific people that consecration is for. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not the body of Christ. Your work requires that commitment. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to now break it down into details for you. Who am I? What am I meant to do? There's nothing as beautiful as having the correct information. Correct information. Somebody told me one day, how are you able to say that you have other things you are doing and all that in the secular? I said, but I don't see it in your teaching. I said, because that ministry has a specific purpose. You can't bring other things inside. I know I'm growing, but I think I've been given the basic meaning of being a pastor and in the ministry. Basic. So you don't mix things together. You don't mix them up. No, don't do it. 2 Samuel 7. So let's break it into detail. Who am I? I'm a cell group leader. I'm a pastor. Whatever you are called here, cell group leader, fellowship pastor, you are a pastor. It's just now that pastor has become glamour. Pastor means shepherd. Pastor means somebody who tends to the flock. It's not a glamorous thing. So that you are angry and not calling you pastor. I don't know any ex-man who is angry and not calling me ex-man. They're angry. He didn't put reverend before my name. So look at this. You are called as a pastor. That's your job. Pastor of who? You can't be the pastor of the body of Christ. You can't even, you are in Yaba. You can't be pastor of the Gondo. You are in the Gondo. You can't be pastor of the Efe. No, you can't be. Even in Efe, there are places that are not your jurisdiction. People. Who are you over in the Lord? You are over people in the Lord as their pastor, as one responsible to how they fulfill God's plan and purpose for their lives. Think in a specific way. Now, of course, in the body of Christ, you descend the Lord's body, you are open to people of different belief systems, you fellowship, you love them, you pray for them, you give, you are generous, and all of that, you are accommodating, but your work is specific. Very specific. Very, very specific. Very specific. Acts. Our pastors will go to travel together. I don't go beyond my brief. I am an invited minister. I go there, I teach, I escape through the back door. That's all. I don't try to say, well, that is, I don't bother. If the pastor does not call me and say, what do you think? I won't tell him anything. It's not my business. If he says, oh, what do you think about it? I can render my opinion. I was talking to one of my friends and he said, talking to another friend, I said, I can't say anything. I said, before you go further, call the person and tell him. I said, I can't bring it up because I didn't see what you saw and I don't want to hear it. I preach for this same person. I don't have any, nothing. What is in my head starts from saints to community to church. It's simple. And you will give yourself less trouble. It's not your responsibility. Now, does it mean I'm not a blessing to the body of Christ as much as God wants me to? Oh, I will want to be. I want to be much more. But my focus. I love television ministry. We're going to be on more stations. I trust God. We even have our own. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on those who come on Sundays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays. Those are the people we are focused on. That's why when we are doing scout meetings and we're done, we sit back and then look at our own people that came and analyze each person. What should we do next? We are less concerned. We are all here. I mean, we don't even talk about those who are invited. We are all here. Not at all. We just say, these people from this, we are just too focused. Are they blessed? Do we plan for them? Of course. We plan for them. We pray for them. But they are not our focus. Our focus are those under our care. Somebody was, he was talking to me and said, so I was advising the person. I said, okay, and the person now said, were you in church on Sunday? The person now said to me, oh, what's up? Just you said, the person said, yes, I was in church. I said, oh, good. Say somebody else. And I said, this person said, no, I'm talking about another church. Civil church. Say, I'm now a cell leader. In which church? In so and so church. I said, you're no longer. I said, yes, you do. So I'm still in sales community. I was at camp meeting. I was blessed. I see myself as a missionary. I looked at the phone. It's not a trance. I said, from today, communication ceases between me and you. Because you are under somebody else. Who should be saying what I'm saying now? Say no, I said, no. I don't want to hear what God told you. Whether it is Elohim, or the Elohims, or the one I know, it's your business. Because I can't be giving you privilege that doesn't belong to you. And I can't be taking a privilege that doesn't belong to me. Somebody else has that responsibility and that privilege, and it's not me. And by the way, I will not pray for you. You will not show up on my prayer list, even by error. I won't pray for you. No. That's not my responsibility. Abasa, everything I'm teaching them in this new church is the ones you taught me. Now, if you can come for all our special meetings, why then did you leave? And you are taking the materials because you want position. Someone told me, say, I can't, say, I looked at your church. The guy is on social media, he talks a lot. So say, I looked at your church, I wanted to first join. I saw the distance to get to the top. He told me. He said, it's too far. He said, I can't. Say, I look at the thing, it's too tight, man. Yeah, I said, too bad. Even heaven is tight. Narrow is the way. Don't mind me. You must be specific. I don't know what say. There was one sent me, say, I sent you a message since last year. He said, I said, I didn't read it. I said, because I didn't see it. I said, I'm wondering. But I said, you're not the member of our church. I don't feel bad that I didn't read it. I don't have to read it. But if you say, I'm a member of social, and you say, since community, and you mentioned, maybe Kaduna, I said, I'm sorry. But you say, I'm from the glory of international Christ. I said, look, Oga. I'm not being evil. I just want to be focused. As an invited minister, I knew that thing. We will go to a place. You will teach your life. I will teach and explain. There was a particular ministry like that. We will be going every year to teach. The people will be filled up and they will say, wow! They always say, wow! But as soon as we are done, the next meeting, they bring somebody else who will come from another side of Zion to speak regularly. And I just felt, this is very interesting. They'll tell you, you are a blessing. Ah! Sir, what you thought that day, you'll be everybody's life never remained the same. We knew that there was something God had to do. The next convention I got, they could bring somebody else who come and say exact opposite. I said, there can't be growth here. People are being given contradictory things. Now, I'm not saying the person is right. Or sorry, is wrong and I'm right. But another man said, I'm wrong and he's right. But you see, two of us together, we're not right. Together. Let's face the fact. You get it? So, I told the person, this is every year. I said, you have to pick one. It's either I am the blessing or the curse. You can't say both of us. I said, ah, sir, but you're a blessing. I said, stop that, patronizing me. That's when I stopped going. This was about 20 years ago. I don't go there. No. I don't feel bad. People say, ah, you're a gift to the body. That thing is lambda. See, you're a gift to the body. It's scope. It's Christ that is the gift to the body. You are a pastor of your church. Did you hear me?
Yes,
take it to what they give you. Long Gicho says, praises, take it like you don't. Mm-hmm. Give to the body. You know, the day a member of the church I pastor now called me give to the body, I'll start to cry. The pastor, you're such a gift to the body. See, so you are now the body of Christ. You are the pastor of your congregation. That is why when you are referring to your own pastor, you don't put a name to it. You don't say, Pastor Somi is pastor. But when you call other pastors, if I think I preached for, who was it? The person now called me pastor. And called the person, he said, pastor. I think he called his own pastor. I said, no, reverse it. I said, call me my own name. Then call, I think you were all there. You were there? And I said, call your pastor, pastor. Me, Pastor Chris. So that they will identify me easily. Pastor is one person. Pastor Chris is a certain. A certain. Who can be told not to come again tomorrow? And you're not feeling bad about it. Ah, why are you coming again? Why now? Why what? Did you bring him? Why don't you bring him before? No, you didn't. Be focused. Specific. There is a them. Did you ever see any letter of Paul to the body of Christ? I, Paul, to the body of Christ in all the nations, seeing that I'm the savior of the world, I thus say, greet, then he greets everybody in the body of Christ. Greet Shego in your sasa. Greet Tunde in the Bujesha. Greet Lan from Akure. Greet Telani from Ibadan. Greet Olawo from Oluwawe 1. Greet Daniel Agni from Bahamas. Rubbish. Greet no! Specific people! Greet the body of Christ for me. There's no job like that! Are you hear what I'm saying? Focus on your flock. Usually, people that God will use globally like that, they will not even intend. It won't be their intention. It won't be something they will set out to do. We will just find out that God, and they are usually unique people. Your contribution to the body of Christ is that cell group meeting. That is your contribution. And you should be focused on it. Be focused. A guy told me, he said, I look at what you write on Facebook. And I go to your website. He said, it's wide apart. I said, Facebook is my personal profile. I say all manner there. I put the word because I'm a Christian. I share the word because I'm a pastor. I put other things too. I said, but where I take my time to explain If I'm not, when I share on Facebook, I just repost. Sometimes I don't even review it. But when I'm teaching a sermon that I put before, I check it again and again. Look, I just boom, bam. Hey, pastor, if you like, eat everything. It's your business. But the doors I teach, we scrutinize, we look at it, because that is your primary role. And responsibility. Guys, be focused. Be very focused. Like I said, I am not just talking about ministry. Hope you are getting what I'm saying. Be focused on your family. Be focused on your husband, on your wife, on your children. Be focused on your job. If you are running an academic program, be focused. Focus on your life. Focus on the one that is your own responsibility. Somebody went to Jesus and said, Lord, you know I love you. Who is the person that you said will betray you? Who is the person, not that one, that you said will not die? He said, what is it to you? Let's read it, John 21. That is, what is your own? So he said, no, am I not? Some of them like by Jesus. Say, why you talk? Jesus, don't talk like that. Are you now saying that I should not love my brother? John 21. Peter seeing him said to the Lord, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to you? How does it affect you? Did you see it? What is it to you? I hear this total. What is it to you? I heard that they now do their program. Somebody called me, a pastor. He said he hears that a particular church, a younger minister that relate me, said I hear that they meet, their church service start at 10 o'clock, and he was saying, I just laughed. I didn't know where to put the story. I said, how is it my business when they meet? You that you are talking, you don't consult me when you chose your church service status. So I just called the guy. I said, I was told, he said, it's not my business. So if you like, let all your meetings be BG. As long as the people that are coming, they are not complaining. It's not my business. What is it to you? Now, look at the import of this. Do you know that? Because of that singular assumption, then when be saying abroad, amongst the brethren, not unbelievers, that the disciples should not die. Yet, Jesus said it, he didn't say it. Can you see it? It's not your business. See what he did. So everyone started saying it because somebody did not mind his business. Focus on your own job. Many younger ministers always tell me that one of the greatest counsels I've given them is face your work. Face your work. Anything you face will grow. If you face somebody else's work, it will grow. Go and look at every ministry they said they wanted to cancel online. Did they cancel anybody? They just grew. Just put attention on it. Focus on your work. Sit down on Twitter, analyze every sermon. Mr. Salmon and Eliza, sit down on Facebook. What's so I said, did you hear? I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. How would I know? I don't know. You don't know. That's why some of us don't do well in school. You didn't do well, know everything. And the thing as a person doesn't know anything. Focus on your flock. Focus. Then church, focus. I dare say, some of the closest people to you, to the people you are pastoring. You have friends that you have a good relationship with, and then those you are pastoring, you have a formal relationship with them. Hello, bless you, where is the study group assignment? Let me see your report. Alright, send me your report by WhatsApp. No relationship, nothing. But those that you have no academic to work, you'll be sitting there, Pastor! How would your congregation ever grow? See where your focus is. I'm not saying you should not have close relationship with people that are not under your care. But those under your care should see you often. Interact. Hear them. Listen. Talk. Listen. Know about their welfare. Ask questions. It's not just about talking about, where's your study group assignment? Where's your friend? No. Know them. Where do they work? What do they do? Where do they live? Tend to the flock. Are you following what I'm saying? So, know them. You know a man, years back, he said, you know, it was, he told me to come and preach for him. I said, look, when I told him, I said, look, I wasn't planning to. I said, look, from time immemorial, I've been focused on where God has placed me. I don't eye congregations. I said, you don't get minister. When I had some of the greatest doors, one of my first gifts was a house. I was a teenager, a house, a car. And I gave it back. Why? Because I said I wasn't going to take offerings. If I have a friend, there was somebody that I celebrated on Facebook as the weapon I talked about, the suit I wore. You know that suit that I wore, the Rock Foundation. They gave us that suit. That was like one. That one, my bed 2 and 3. Well, I think I shared it 2 days ago. He knows what I'm saying. He said, I said, no, I'm not taking anything. And he put together a gift for me. Then that was years before, in the 90s, because I've been preaching for them since 94, 94 to 5. I said, no. So God didn't ask me to take it. And I knew. So then I said, I hope you are. I said, I will now. At least now, I mean, I saw that in my heart, and I can. Even at that, there are restrictions. Don't be a ministry for things like that. They'll give you something. They take no. So there's no reason why you should be eyeing someone else's work. Focus on your own. Focus on your own. Are you following what I'm saying? 2 Samuel chapter 7. We want to look at the life of David. Things to learn. Knowing that you are a member of the leadership that God has placed over his flock. One of your responsibilities is to see growth. What did I say? Personal growth for you as a person. Look at it in detail. And then those under your care. Listen. Whilst numerical growth is not spiritual growth. People can come to church by the reason of many things. They can come because they are invited, they are lured, they are entertained, they are persuaded and all of that. So you can have numerical growth and no spiritual growth. But mark what I'm about to say. You can't have spiritual growth without numerical growth. No, you can't. I'll say it again. You can have numerical growth without spiritual growth. But you cannot have spiritual growth without numerical growth. So anyone truly called of God, consecrated to the flock and the church, should be particular about the spiritual growth that also produces numerical growth. You pay attention to it. So look at your job. The job of a king in Israel is that of a shepherd. When you say pastor in New Covenant, text, the New Testament, you are referring to a shepherd king, better still. Psalm 78 and verse 72. I'll start from 70. It shows David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. For following Eve's great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people. And Israel is inheritance. So he fed them, 72, that's what fed them means to pastor. According to the integrity of his heart. And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here, the Lord speaking to David. Says to him, in verse 8, I took you from the sheepcote. For following the sheep to be the ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with you where you went,
and have cut thee up thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. I'll appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, and they will dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Now, go to verse 12. I'll set up thy seed after thee, that shall preserve to the borrowers and establish his kingdom. He shall build a household, that's one house, for my name. And he says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Look at verse 16. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before thee. The throne shall be established forever. So he intends that the work that he has committed to the hands of David should outlast him. Should be forever. Now if you read this with what was said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, besides Jacob, he said it will be in all the earth. In all the earth. So this is the job of a pastor. That's why the word gospel, basar in the Hebrew, is kingdom news, kingdom exploits. Isaiah 52, a word that emerges primarily from the book of the kingdom, 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel. Isaiah 52 and verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of them that bring good tidings. Or kingdom tidings that publish peace and brings good tidings of good and publishes salvation and says to Zion, to Zion, thy God reigneth. This particular word, basar, B-A-S-A-R, emerges from the book of Kings. When I said that, I mean 1 Samuel 4:17, 1 Samuel 31 verse 9, 2 Samuel 4 verse 10, 2 Samuel 18, verse 19, 20, 26, and 31. 1 Kings 1, 42. 1 Chronicles 10, 9. 1 Chronicles 16, 23. Psalm 40, verse 9. Psalm 68, verse 11. Psalm 96, verse 2. If a word that is synonymous with a king ruling, Isaiah 40 verse 9, Isaiah 41 verse 27, Isaiah 52 verse 7 twice, Isaiah 60 verse 6, Isaiah 61 verse 1, Jeremiah 20 verse 15, Nahum 1:15. I've taught this, you this boy, I'm just repeating myself. If it's associated with kings, and that is what is given to the gospel preacher as the term for the work of his ministry. Number one, your message about the kingdom. Your role is like that of a king, a servant ruler over God's people. So, instructions to pastors in the New Testament emanate from things said to kings, rulers, shepherd kings in the Old Testament. So, David stands out. Look at a few things. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and verse 1. Remember that the apostles went to this text when they were persecuted. Why did the ancient raise the people? Imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers set counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They refer to this in Acts 4, verse 24 and 25. Because this was about the work of the ministry. Look at verse 7. I declare the decree, the Lord has said to me, thou art my son this day, I have begotten thee. Acts of me, verse 8, I will give you the ethan for your inheritance. The nations, this is to David, the nations, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So in Acts 1:8, when Jesus said, you shall receive power, after the Holy Ghost come upon you, shall witness unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's referring to David. The work of a ministry is similar to that of the king in Israel. And what does this entail? Number one, it entails places, people. Number two, it entails warfare. The preaching of the gospel is identified as warfare. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, take on to yourselves the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers,
He says against spiritual wickedness in the rulers of the land of this world in the high, on high. She said, well, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God. I will not know to stand. Stand there for, pardon me, stand. They don't describe the whole armor of God. And think about the preaching of the gospel. Because the word gospel is kingdom warfare. In synonym. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. He says, the shoe, your feet shod with the shoes or the sandals of the preaching of the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Look at that. That's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. Sorry, 10 verse 3, don't walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So if the king in Israel is a warrior, the pastor, the preacher, the shepherd is a warrior. A warrior who is meant to see. So what is your inheritance? The nations. What is your possession? The uttermost part of the earth. So when Paul in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you. Build his oikodomio, what God has given the earth, and grant you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. That's the inheritance. So you must have a clear cut thinking. Your vision, your mission, your job description is in scripture. It's not on somebody you saw on TBN, thank God for TBN, or Daystar Network, or even KLN. It's not somebody you see on even Living World Media. No. It's scriptures. You are a warrior king, a warrior ruler, a servant warrior. Your job is warring. Warring over territories and people. So the first thing in my consecration is a personal, individual consecration to the work of a ministry. Where it's not for people seeing me. Look at what he said to David. I took you from the sheepcote. I took you. So, when he was not known, God was building something in him. Same thing in Psalm 78, the one we just read. Such that, when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, he said, are these all your children? He said, there's one remaining. He said, but he's turning to sheep. Somehow, you know what they call Revelation kids? When you hear some words, it just strikes a bell. Bring him. We will not sit down till he comes. Do you know that as soon as he mentioned that, Samuel knew who was coming. He anointed him with oil in the midst of the brethren, tending to sheep. By chapter 17, when he went before Saul, he said, God was with me. A lion came. A bear came. To the sheep, I took them apart. The man said, teddy bear or lion king? No real one. God was using. Now, you know you can give testimonies that are not true. Say, you know, God has been working with me before I was 4. You know, I used to get people filled with the Holy Ghost before I was 6. Okay, fine. Saul said, let's see the true test. Come. Say, I'm a man of God. Come. Go and preach to that person. That person. Now? Now. Can you give me some time? Go now. So when he told Goliath, if you didn't believe his story before, you see the proof. Do you know that he never spoke about a lion and a bear on the battlefield? He only said it to Saul. When he said, what will be your credentials? So he told him. And when he went before Goliath, it was the same testimony, the same strength of testimony of his track record. I know how to take on the enemy. Because the job, you can't be running from the power of darkness. Then you're not going anywhere. They said you should pass on some 10 people. Two of them went into drugs. And then you are already frustrated. You are thinking maybe God has not called you. You are dampening your prayer life. You are sad. You are feeling bad. You are saying, I tied 8 people out of the 8. 4 are not committed. 2 are committed, but their commitment is not even committed. The only one that is committed is just because I pay school fees. And then you are angry. You are bitter. Satan has a number on you. You can't move forward. You will have to focus on that lion and bear. Oga, fight it. You have to fight it. You have to fight it. And one of the things that you tell yourself that what is nothing much. It's nothing much. Why should I stress myself? I'll now be leaving work at 4 o'clock, running down to meet 5 people. I'll now be taking leave off work because I want to go and minister to 7 people. Assuming there was 10,000. 10,000 congregation. In fact, my boss will tell me to take leave. God will never give you that. How? Don't you know that 10,000 will have increased Goliath? Show yourself. It will have increased Goliath. If you are running from Satan attacking 5 people, who will give you 500? Who? You are already frustrated. Just one person out of 6 is frustrating you. When you now have 200, do you know what to multiply? You are not building capacity for yourself. So as an individual, David builds inner fortitude over the flock. God is testing him, training him. By the time he now brought him to feed his people, you know something? He merited it. That's why, thank God for the grace of God. It is by grace. Grace qualifies the unqualified. We say this and that. Grace qualifies the unqualified. Grace does what? Please wait. Don't mix salvation. When it comes to ministry, Paul says, it is good that a man desires the office of bishop, but you have to prove him. What is the problem? Have to prove it. You can come to a church and say, I used to be a reverend. You don't even have to say anything. You will prove it by your conduct. Prove it by your submission. Prove it by the kind of ministry you give. This man. Say, well, I used to be. Hey. Not that you will make mouth. Say, I took the lion and the bear. And then Goliath just sent one of his small boys. He says, go and talk to you. Say, I didn't say anything now. No. It's not me. After making mouth. So, in our ministry, we are giving to prayer. Come. 2 hours. You are already singing in tongues. I pray with the Spirit first. I sing after. You've even prayed. Nothing to interpret. Yeah, he's like, oh God, I have stepped into you. You're not stepping into anything. So you can't run. You can't. You have to face it. He qualified as king. You know what? He took down the threats of Israel. He qualified as king. What Saul ran for, David did not run for it. Run away from it. He took it down. You have to be faithful in all things. Faithful. Faithful. Those who have been with me, I'm not boasting. And I won't. Because I'm growing. And I'm learning. And I'm growing by the power of God. So, there's no extra commitment I have today. We went to my hometown. And I showed them where we used to have a retreat. They were surprised. I said, this spot, this room is where I preach, let the Holy Ghost, this place. Hell yes. We will do this to the night, into the morning. With the same aggression. The same passion. Nothing is changing. Nothing. You now run. So because it's in the room, you just go there, laugh, say, amen. I just share one scripture that I can't remember. You just say, what's that scripture again? Third Peter. There's no Third Peter. Amen. Because you don't see, because you have six people, eight people. You know. Then I say, you are invited to so-so Christian Center. How many are they? They are 1,000. I'll be there. Who will commit that to your hands? None. Such that when I was given the opportunity to pastor a larger congregation, I said, I don't want any other person to work. I told them, 1998. I said, by May 20, I said, I will step down. They felt because of that congregation, I will not. I said, number one, no offering. I'm not taking anything from your ministry. I'm nothing. May 20, that was a joke. I taught them. In fact, that was the first place I did a series on reality of Christianity. I taught them. I explained. We did outreaches. By May 20, say, like I said in January, I'm leaving today. I didn't inform them the day before. So I'm leaving today. Say, Prof. I said, yes, today. I said, you won't see me again. Not even in the realm of the spirit. I'm gone. And I went back to Faith Family Fellowship. Faith Family Network. The group of people who are just working together. That is my own work. I left it. I said, no, I was prepared to pastor. Not that I was enjoying myself. I said, no, not my work. I've never seen it in a vision before. God didn't talk to me about it. I just left. May 20. I left. Remember about those one day. I'm good. My friend said, Shekhu, why not take it easy and pray about it? I said, pray about what? When you start praying about what's not God's will, it becomes God's will. Don't use prayer in the spirit to cover up nonsense. I left. I did. And I focused. The reason was that for the next program we were trying to do, we didn't have money for the venue. See, that was just stop. You need a girl. See, you don't even have money for the next venue. Didn't change anything. My friend said, hey, but you don't have to live like that. Live gradually. I said, there's nothing like that. You live at once. Boom. I said, remember lost wife? I'm gone! That's it. No iota of regret now. Because there was none then. Not one. The man I respected called me, said, I'll give you this be at the Bible school. I want you to say, no, I don't think it's worth going. And I looked at him. I told my friend, I'm not going back there. I said, why? I said, but this is an opportunity. I said, no. That's not what God told me. Then they were looking at the fact that commission was not yet. This is an opportunity. I don't think you should. I said, no, I won't. Say, if it is God, I'll recognize it. This is just a blessing to the body of Christ, and I'm willing to do that. But let's be focused. Not the them. Don't run. Don't run from their demons. Don't run from their problems. You're looking for a well-set congregation. You wish that your church or another church, you will never get it. Your wish will die unborn. Focus on your work! And over God's people. Listen. Today, we expect a leader to teach certain number of sessions in the week. Now, the moment it becomes a duty to you, so you think, well, because Sister Tonya must read my report, Brother Beckley must, then you are far from the call of God. You should not see this as a duty. You should be delighted to train people. This is your job. It's your job. The sessions. It's your job. It's your job description. Imagine somebody say, I don't know what's wrong with this consultant. You're supposed to be like a registrar. Junior reg, as they call them. And you are in the surgery department. And you say, the man just wants us to be seeing blood. I don't like seeing blood. I don't know. They forced me. My grandfather made sure I became a doctor. And you went to write your primaries. They're not forcing me to enter this. Are you well? You are now a pastor. They now tell you to be doing what a pastor does. That's what a pastor does. A pastor teaches his flock. A pastor goes to the other, am I right? He goes to their homes. A pastor sits down with them. A pastor trains them. Am I right? That's your job. So let's do some focus on David. David, pay attention to this. Started with the lion and the bear. He entered the work of the ministry with taking on Goliath. He was the only one. In 1 Samuel 17, he said, I will take him down. Listen. When he did that, of course, the women started saying, Saul killed his 1,000, David killed his 10,000. You have to be careful of people like that. I don't know where they saw 10,000. At that point, Saul became jealous. And all that went on. Now the focus I want to show us is, do you know that? As important as that is in ministry, that singular feat of taking on Goliath, why? There's no mean way that kingdom will grow because it took on Goliath. There were many more wars that he fought. The reason why Goliath's own was singled out, it was his first one. He fought many other wars. And he conquered territories beyond Goliath. But now let me show you this. At the beginning, Goliath was defeated. He took on Goliath as a person. But you can't continue ministry that way. You can't. That single man show happened once. Just once. What now happened to David? In 1 Samuel 22, I've been taking on Goliath and defeated Goliath. Saul began to look for him. He had Jonathan, he ran. 1 Samuel 22. In verse 1. He departed ends and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down either to him. Look at verse 2. Look at how, somebody had taken on Goliath. You thought the next thing for him would be some spectacular event. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves to him. He became a captain over them. I know we have done this teaching before. And there were with him about 400 men. See what he starts with. He can't do a one-man show. When you are in ministry, you are now a team leader. And that team, you will have to train that team yourself. If you are the only person in your cell group, in your church, in your fellowship, doing the outreach, there is a problem in your leadership. There is a huge problem. That is acceptable before you are given the responsibility. It's acceptable at the first stages, but not anymore. God will now give you men, disgruntled, raw talents, or raw materials. They will come in form of different things. And that is where your ministry is. I'll read some versions. He said, there came around him discontented men. The version says, everyone bitter in soul. Another one says, those who were out of order. One version says, distress.
Those who were troubled in mind. I like this one. Some were angry. God sent them to him. They gathered themselves. Some were oppressed, dissatisfied. 400. Those that you will train will come in form of raw talents. Raw materials. Raw. And then David began his work. This is the most crucial part of your leadership. Because if you don't succeed, let me use the word succeed carelessly. If you don't become effective in training people, your growth is stunted. You will have a growth that cannot be sustained. You can't build your fellowship on inviting new people every Sunday. You are bringing them. Yet, there is no birthing of men. You are not training people. When Jesus began ministry, he went from city, villages, Matthew 4, 24 and 25. Matthew 9, 35. Then, look at what he said. The harvest. You know, in the whole four gospels, I can't recall anything Jesus spoke about praying. Now, he said, pray that you're going to temptation. He said, pray, thou ceasing. May not pray, not faint. But that's a bit, he says, to pray. After this manner, pray. The only time he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. At chapter 10, he sends out the 12. So, from Jesus alone, Jesus and the 12, in Mark 6, when they did not honor his ministry, what was the way around? He used the men that he had trained. When you train people and you disciple them, there will be virtually nothing that will stop you because you have multiplied yourself. Many times we are struggling because we have not focused on the flock. You are focused on the pulpit to preach every Thursday. You are not focused on those who are listening to you to see to it that they are trained, equipped, taught. Sometimes people come as a pastor and I can see that what you did to us when you were deliberate, I said, I was deliberate. You are training them. There was a man like that. I saw him one time. They have in the program. He'll be the one to set up the thing. He'll set up the keyboard. That's fine. At the initial stages. Years later, I saw the same thing. I said, there's a problem. You can't be the same person. No! What did you do in those years? Who were you training? Or you are there teaching the word, explaining the Greek and Hebrew. Oh God, I don't understand this. Spend time and build people. I told one younger pastor, I said, how many programs do you want to do this year? There should be more meetings unannounced. How many programs? Word first meeting. Word just copycat. Sometimes you're not even a cat, it's copyright. So what did David do? He now began to train them. If you read the tragedy of his ministry from 2 Samuel chapter 1, he now began to expand. He went beyond Goliath. He went beyond Saul. He began to expand through the men that he trained. Church community, church cell leaders, fellowship pastors, church, but he had this. The strength of your church is in the men you are training. Men that you are reproducing yourself in. Men. Listen, many times they will know what you are doing. Most of you will look back. Is now today you say, I now know what pastor was doing. I don't have to tell you. You don't know what you're doing. You look like, it's difficult. The same way you were trained as a child. You were used to, mommy. One day, she dressed you up, put clothes on you, and took you to a place where you did not know. Crèche. Nursery.
So when she was going, you want to follow her, they stopped you, for the first time in your life. And so has it been since then. In fact, they are not the ones saying, you are not even calling me. And last 1 month, say, oh, sorry, you know I'm busy. From, I want my mommy. You have grown up. Imagine them seeing your mom and you're in your 30s. And your mom was saying, I want my mom. What happened? I said, I want my mommy. That's one guy like that. In this church, wanted to marry someone. So the brother came. What can I say? You know what my mom said? So I said, you know what? I said, a member of the children's church is better than Philip Love with you. You are in love with a member of the children's church. I said that in service today. I was talking to those people that they said they are bringing you to church every Sunday. You are in your 30s. So people just want to be service today. I said, you should be, the next time somebody has to bring you to church at 8:30, you should direct you to children's church. Children's church. Imagine, you are in your 20s, middle 20s, even early 20s. So what's happening? The person taking me to church has come, and you said it. You said it. Taking you, not to go and see the president of Nigeria. The other one will need long leg to church, 6 hours seat. Saying, you know, he always said I should come, so I just want to follow him. How old are you again? He said 21. Reverse the figures. If I said 24, I wouldn't like to reverse the figures. No! You have to train people. After many years? The same thing. I said no. No. So you have moved on. David had moved from Goliath. Now he's taking territories, but not as a single person. He now has men. 2 Samuel. You can read from chapter 1 through 1 through. But look at 2 Samuel 5. Are you in church? I said, are you in church? In time past, when Saul was king of our house, when Saul was led us and brought to Israel, and lost, said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt become the king of Israel. So all the elders came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and anointed David king over Israel. He was 30 years old, and began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. Watch this. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah. 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned over 30. That one reigned to take over, and 3 years over Israel and Judah. So he was taking territories, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem to the other people, you know, and inhabitants of the Jebusites of the land spoke to David, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou will not come either. David cannot come in either. Then David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. Now, what did David took? He was not alone. He now had men. He was a captain over people. Captain. He was now taking territories. Taking territories. Because you can't do it that way. Some of us were. God has given to you a ministry of thousands upon thousands. You are running a caucus. A caucus. So what you like to see the same people every Sunday, and they're together, and they now stay out. The same pair of people. There was a church like that, you know, we all be at home. And us, the members, who leave for church, and will set up and have service and go back. I said, I said, no, we can't continue like this. So what do we do? I said, we have to reach out. You know what I'm talking about. We went out. Say, change where we are. We're using somebody's office. So it was free. So it was like family meeting. I said, no, let's leave that place. So we're going, so we went to another place. We'll start paying. Then we're not paying. We'll start paying. We move from free to pay. We have to be responsible. And the church grew. We're doing consistent evangelism. We move from that place to Yabatekea, the guest house. We first used inside, it was full. We now moved outside, started using tents. So now, from meeting in a, we're like 5, 6, 7. I was not the pastor, I was assistant pastor. I'll be the one leading the worship. I'll lead the worship, lead the prayer. Ah! So we stopped. Started to train. Someone else took the prayer. And we're growing. Growing. Welcome. And all of us who were the major workers, we stayed in Jagamo, Ibadan. I will come to Lagos every week. Do outreaches. Train people. Teach people. Establish them. Said, no, this is, God did not send us to be having new familiarity. How are you? How was your today? Like yesterday? No. No new faces. No new activity with someone now going out. No new person being trained. What God has given you is an international, right? Global reach. Don't use your small vision. The small vision. It should be people we don't know every week. And we are just knowing. And we are not going to stop at knowing them. We are going to raise them. Here, listen to me. If you want your fellowship to increase, you must increase in your training. This was no longer Goliath. It was now territories. Raise your two hands. Say, I go beyond Goliath. I go for territories. Pray for yourself. Yeah. That small vision. Hallelujah. Sit down. I go for territories. David moved beyond that. You think what God called him for was taking out Goliath? No! God wanted the nations. Ask of me! That's what he said. And I'll give you the nations for inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Jesus took 3.5 years to train the 12. But was that where they stopped? Going around the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because he had trained them. Who are you training? I didn't say who are you teaching. You can teach without training, but you can't train without teaching. Who are you training? Who are you teaching to do what you are doing? Who? Part of the training of people is that they will be making mistakes like this, like you make mistakes, like I do, is part of the training. I was describing a youth foundation model on Facebook this morning. Uncle Larry, I think he spoke to me just about the second service. He said I was just whooping. I said, look, the truth of the matter is that you made it impossible for us to know when God called us to ministry. Ministers meeting, evangelism, everyone was all around you. As a small boy, they took me to New Covenant Church to go and see crusades. How will you not be called to the ministry? You have seen crusades. I will see you mouth pie. I will see he will bring men of God that you know they bring them to our fellowship. He will be sitting like this. You see the report, you know, just on the same side. He's teaching. You are taking the PDT. Secondary school junior boy to go and do retreat 3 days. And you are fasting. Training. Ministry was, I know churches today, many of their most reliable pastors came from that ministry. In fact, one man told me, he said, the growth of our church, the man known all over the world, all over Nigeria, and believe the world too, he said, is from that foundation. It was just what it is. Today we do group meetings. Where do you think I got it from? The same place. Group meetings, group leader, chariot, that's where I got it from. When you are born again, evangelism, discipleship. When we invited Uncle Adele in 2018, I told you what he was going to preach. I told you. I said he's going to preach evangelism. And I said, that's what he's going to say. And the stories he said, I'd heard them before. Simple. So, you have to look beyond yourself. I said it to you. The people you are killing will not even know what you are doing to them. Like your parents. From the crèche to different things. When you wanted the child to walk, you stop the time. I said, oh, mommy, no! You are training. It's the same way. You have to train David's mighty men. They will come with growth. They are not coming with the call of God. But you know they have the call of God. It's your duty. He now began to take the kingdoms. One by one. Exodus 18. You must not be content if you are not taking territories. Why are you happy? I told someone and I said, look, you just got an appraisal from your PCF coordinator, your zonal pastor, your pastor about the growth of your church or your fellowship, and then you change your DP to celebrate somebody in your office birthday. I said, there's nothing wrong in that. I mean, you have a duty. I said, but it's not showing that you understood what you were told. Because there should be, people, they should be reminding you, there's somewhere, this is soberness that should come. He just told you, you were 12 last week, now you are 8. Where is that brother? I said, go on. And they rebuked you. The next thing, you are sharing a video of music. You can't make progress in ministry. You can't. You have to check your attitude. Then he said, you have to have a contrite heart. Check your heart when you are corrected. Look at it. You can't be content. Exodus 18. This is Jethro and Moses. About the same thing we are saying. Jethro came to visit Moses, verse 18. Exodus 18. Verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw... No, verse 13. It came to pass tomorrow that... Look at it. Let's take 13 together. I want us to read together. Exodus 18. That Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from where? He was the only one doing the ministry. Oh, he was teaching depth. Ah! He was dividing the word. He was teaching, explaining, saying no, identification, unifier, codified language, motif. He's teaching depth. Money believed it. When Moses very well saw all that he did to the people, he said, ah, what is this thing that you are doing to the people? Why sit thou thyself alone? You are the only one doing follow up. You are the only one ministering, checking everybody. And all the people stand by you from morning till evening. Moses said to the father-in-law, because the people come to God, come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I jump between one and the other, and I do let them know the sense of God and his laws. Let us read 17 together. Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Now, is he saying it's not good that you are blessing them? No. This pattern will never make the work of the ministry go forward. This is not proper. This is not good. You are the only one. Oh, we have this meeting. You are the one that is organizing boss. You are the one organizing equipment. You are the one going to pick all the disciples. You are the, you are not training people. This is not good. At the initial stages, yes. But after 2 years, 3 years, 9 months, then he says, look at 18. Let's take 18 together. Thou will surely wear away both you and this people that's with you. For this thing is for thou. Raise your two hands. Say, this thing is too heavy for me. I can't do it alone. Come on, pray about that. It's too heavy. You can't do it alone. This is about the nations. It's about millions, hundreds of thousands. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Hallelujah. Sit down. You can't. You cannot. Don't limit the grace of God over your life. You can't. That is why it is still 10 members. It's still 20. Because you cannot do it alone. It's not good. You are not able to perform it. That number, see. Oh, we're growing. We just became. Do you even know what he has called you to do? He called you for a whole city. You are saying you are growing in the street. Because you are doing it alone. You are doing it alone. You are saying, but these mighty people that came to me, they don't ministry material, they are discontented, they are in debt, they are in this one, they are in that one. Who did Moses bring out? The same people who at the Red Sea were grumbling. One of the things about the man of God, you have the eyes of faith. You have the eyes of faith. Yeah, you do. I come here every Sunday. I come here every meeting and I'm speaking to your future all the time. Go and ask your pastor. Some of you know what I'm saying. The things I'm teaching there, I taught you years ago, and I'll say, nations are going to hear this. I was saying with them. I was preparing you. And I'm still preparing you as God is preparing me. You have to see beyond that room. You have to see. You have to see beyond. Let's get it. No! See beyond it. Start talking. This is not. So start describing your ministry beyond what you can do every day alone. Beyond what you can do every day alone. I make no boast. When the lockdown happened, and someone said, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I said, we have trained people. It's the time to see it. I was the one that was not preaching. So we were struggling on the social media to be doing everyday broadcast. I said, I will not do it. I will not do it. I've taught you. I've trained you. The content of what I teach you is ministry. So when I'm not there, you do it. I come to see what I have trained you are doing. Wasn't difficult. I said, we won't do it. If you have to see me every day, hallelujah, man, how are you today? Where's your face mask? No? On Zoom. I said, we have trained people. We teach them evangelism. Follow up. And it's time. They will make errors. It's time. And many of you know, I was visiting you. I was looking at you from afar. I was the one that was not preaching. So we started doing our own meetings in-house. Just doing here, you know, with just teaching. Had the meetings. Some of you are doing two services, three services. And some of you almost falling down. See what I was doing? You just, I'll be taking water, five alive, six alive. Been trained. You can't do it alone. You have to train people. What's the content? After that teaching on the pulpit, what do you do after it? What do you put them through? You have to train them. Put them through the activities of ministry. Look at what he now said to him. Hearken unto me, O my boys. Verse 19. I give you counsel and go be with you. Be thou to the people. Watch this. And watch your role. At some point in ministry, be thou for the people to Godward, that thou may bring the causes to God. Hear this: the only thing you can do for everybody is to pray. To pray, bring their causes. At that point, you know that you are now praying for everyone. Look at the next thing: you will teach them ordinances and laws. And show them the way, watch this now, wherein they must walk, call that spiritual growth, and the work that they must do, ministry training. He said, look, you will want, firstly, pray for them. We give ourselves to prayer. Acts 6:4. You will teach them how they will walk with the Lord. Spiritual growth, being led by the Spirit of God, you know, walking in their rights and privileges, grace and all that. Then the work they must do. Ministry training. He said, look at the next thing. You will now provide out of the people Out of all the people, able men that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place over such them the rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them judge people at all seasons, shall be that every great matter they will bring. Are you following this? You can't bear it alone. So start to train. You have to spend that time. That time you are not spending is the problem. Spiritual growth, work of the ministry. Spiritual growth. Now, the work they must do is not in the pulpit. You put them through ministry. Will they make errors? Look at the book of Exodus to Numbers. There's a lot of errors. But the kingdom is expanding. The work is growing. And the more work, the more work. Guys, look at me. Take ministry training seriously. Or else, you have the kind of growth that will run you out of town. You just have a huge turnover of first timers. This week, 20 are in. In the 20, 18 came for the first time. Next week, 24 are in. In the 24, 20 are for the first time. You know why is that, that's happening? Because you are not training anybody. You have to reproduce yourself. And don't forget, the method of your Omniscience Community Church is discipleship. That's what we are doing here. We disciple people for the work of a ministry. Hope you are following me here. Don't forget, we started by focus, right? Them. Focus on them. Sharing the word to the whole world is a waste of time. Sharing the word. At the end of the day, you know your greatest benefit in the body of Christ? The men you have trained. That's the greatest gift you can give the body of Christ. Sharing the word. You stay on social media. You are teaching the body of Christ. You are deceiving yourself. Focus on these people. Focus. You know why I'm talking like this? I know I'm not talking to you. Nobody here is teaching on the Facebook. But because I know that people listen to me, I want them to hear this. Focus on your congregation. Train them. I just want you a few things. We'll take it on again next. Because I'm going to go through some pastors of the Old Testament. You know, David got Bathsheba in his leisure time. Leisure. Was doing nothing. Wasn't busy. So he had time to be looking around and say, Omoge. See figure 8. Leisure. Start time to browse. He said, I can't do without watching Netflix every other day. That's what he was doing. He got distracted. Like Solomon. They all were fighting no wars. Claimed no territories. They came to claim his own territory. They gave him wives that made him an idol worshiper. He focused. Write this down. There is no time you will not need to consecrate again and again. Like I said, I'm going to be with this next month. So your growth is in your training ministers. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Except you want to become one of those people that do entertainment. You'll be inviting people. We do what to make them attracted every week. No, you are not for that. You are preaching the word. And if you are going to teach the word like Jethro told Moses, you will put the word and the work of the ministry. He said the first thing, bring their causes to God. Pray. Your job, we'll give ourselves to prayer. We'll not leave the word of God at our tables. You pray. Number two, teach them to walk with God. Not people are dependent on you every day to walk with God. How to be led by walking in love, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. How to read the Bible, exegesis. You're teaching them how to walk with God. Prayer, praying for others, mission to others. Then, the work that they must do, the work of the ministry. Practical approach. Go for that, come back. This one, come back. Look, Pastor Fogger is here. Years ago, I said she go for evangelism. She came back. I can't remember when she came back. She said, did you see anybody? I said, you came back. I said, you came back about 11 p.m. to do evangelism. Eventually, there are people today among your pastors that she trained. Years after. You know what? She went. Pastor is watching me. I asked because there was a strike then. One of these strikes under military government. She was not, we're not in relationship there though. So she came. She said, there's this guy. She's preaching to him. They say she'll come back. I said, no. You can't come back. Go and meet him. Ah, she said, she asked because there was strike. They have shut down the campus. I said, if they like, let them shut down Ibadan. You are going nowhere. See, that boy is born again. She now came back. She was sweating in the evening. She said, he's not born again. I said, did you feel the Holy Ghost? She said, ah. I said, no, I have to go back. He has to speak in tongues. She's watching me. She stayed for days. She come and said, the guy said, you can't speak in tongues today. Said, so you are going nowhere today. Years later, she taught some of your pastors evangelism. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to give the time. Time. Train people. Take time. And do it. I trust God in our coming world changes. We always do evangelism and mission at that point, but because of the number and where we hold it, we have to look for something around it. And that practice must return to do practical ministry in the middle of that meeting. Let me just say this at the close. In ministry, to train people, you throw your all. You throw what? To train people for ministry. You throw your all. I wrote like 8 things. You give your life. Because listen, in training people, you must be exemplary. Exemplary. You can't do it alone. You train for ministry. You train them with your life. Your example. With your words, count things you say. With your own pursuit. Let them look at your pursuit. And say, wow. Not that you are one lazy person. You are doing badly in the natural. No. Note that you are also showing that example in the natural. As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a sibling to your siblings, as an employee at work. It's all part of what you are using to train people under your care. Your example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example of the believer. Your words. How you speak into their lives. 3. Your pursuits. I said number 1, your life. Number 2, your words. Number 3, your pursuits. Number 4, your relationships. You are saying you are training for ministry. Your relationships. You believe, you are using that to also train people. You live with unbelievers, they see how you do it. Believers, elderly people, is part of the training. Your prayer life, your teaching, your lifestyle. They are all part of training people. Finally, your time and your resources. I'm out of time already. Your time and your resources. You have a duty to train people. Like David, if you are going to take territories, you can't do it alone. David now had mighty men. 2 Samuel 23 as we close. 2 Samuel 23. At the end of his life. And he now had the mighty men. 23. Let me just skip them. Verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Tachmonite that sat in the seats, chief among the captives. The same also Adino the Eshmite, leader of his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Eleazar son of Dodo the Ahohite,
one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that gathered together to battle. The men of Israel were gone away. He rose and saw the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hand came to the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people turned after him only to spoil. Different people. That man. Because the fruit of the ministry is men. Are you training men? Men who are bearing the responsibilities with you. If you are going to grow in church, in fellowship, in ministry, you have to focus on training men. So the instruction to have some sessions in the week, an hour to teach and train, it's not to be just pouring doctrinal things. And no, it's to train people in the study of the word, in prayer, in evangelism, training them. It's your job. You cannot delegate it, because that is what a pastor is about. I leave you with these words tonight, the last day of April 2023. As you step into May, that your understanding of this work has to be renewed. Fresh focus, fresh vigor, and fresh consecration to create time for people. Stand to your feet. To create time. To give it to them. Who are these people? Disgruntled, bitter in soul, discontented, angry, rumpled, confused. They are the mighty men that you have to train. I know you are taking care of the lion and the bear. Thank God for that. You took on the lion, but that's not the growth. The growth will only start when you take on the men and begin to groom them, begin to train them. Then you begin to take territories, cities, and growth is here. Lift your hands. Worship the Father.